Reiner, you are aware that you're flying a 747 jumbo jet. The only safe place to land is the airport.
I think you should be more open-minded about this. A bunch of us were talking and we were thinking about maybe landing on the interstate. I mean, you know, we'd be a lot closer to hotels and everything. Okay, Tower?
Just like the Tower, the Bible is guiding us to the only option we have available. Will you turn to Jesus? A message from Lifeline Productions. 1-800-523-8669. LifelinePro.com.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net. Around the world and on satellite.
Yeah?
Roll away the dawn. Roll away the dawn and let me see. Land of the free. Has anything changed now? Sweet liberty. Sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan. Or is it a state of mind?
You're listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. Today is Wednesday, the 29th of March, in the year 2006. And Alan was with us this evening, of course. Our spiritual message, once again, is from A Course in Miracles, from the workbook, page 77, a quote. It says, the presence of fear is a sure sign that you are trusting in your own strength. Something to remember, something for me to remember. The presence of fear is a sure sign that you are trusting in your own strength. Well, it is. It's within us, isn't it, folks? It is ours, and it is our courage, and it is our strength. And I realized that not long after Chuck passed away, that when I was asking in prayer to give me courage and strength to go on, and then I realized I have it. I have everything I need. But we have to recognize it. We have to acknowledge that and know it, and then hang on to it for your life. Alan, thanks for being here tonight.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, yeah.
And you caught me not at a real good time.
Not at a good time, eh?
When you called me earlier.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sitting there going through those emails, and it's so sad. The propaganda and all. Well, as I mentioned to you, somebody sent me an email, and I clicked on it, and it was photographs of a rally that was being held, evidently in Mexico. I think that's where it was. But these were, the majority of them were young people, and they were very nicely dressed in all the photographs, very neat, clean looking. They had big banners, big signs. This is our continent. And we are not Latinos. We are not Hispanics. We are Mexicans. And our land was stolen from us. And they said thousands, you know, turned out. They had a big march. And they had evidently, because there were photographs of people who came up to read their signs and that they were presenting the information they were presenting. So they're rallying and riling up people in Mexico.
Yeah.
And, of course, these young people, and when I say young, I'm not talking teenagers, but you could see that at least a lot of them were in their 20s and 30s, but they have been riled up.
Mm-hmm.
And I put myself in their place. And I think, you know what? If I knew history, as I know it now, I mean, what I know of it so far, it is true that their land, not their land, but the land that was once Mexico,
uh-huh.
was stolen by the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
It was literally stolen.
Yeah.
And, you know, think about it. That was another good reason for the war of northern aggression.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good reason for it because they had their army,
mm-hmm.
and they started sending them there. They started sending them, you know, out west and
yeah.
setting up their forts and doing all this. And even the southern troops, if they pledged their allegiance to the Union, were able to join the army. But I've read a lot about that, Alan, and it's true. The land was taken. But then when you look back at that whole scene, you see how, for example, the war between the states, how much these creatures accomplished by that war. So many things.
Yeah.
But what's happening today was laid out all that long ago.
Yes, it was. I mean, divide and conquer is the old story.
Yeah.
And then, of course, people forget that the free trade movement has been on the go for a awful long time, long before it was announced to the public. The Royal Institute of International Affairs in Britain had published books on ultimately the unification of the Americas and the unification of Europe, etc. And then the Council on Foreign Relations went into motion working towards this great plan, you see. And the public really didn't hear about free trade for the Americas till the 1980s with the Free Trade Agreement, which really is the big one. It's more really important than NAFTA. And in there it's got the free movement of goods and labor between nations without impediment.
That was when?
That was in the 1980s.
Oh, God.
The free trade negotiations.
Yeah.
That was written into it right there and then. And, of course, that was already in the British charters of the Commonwealth, the British Commonwealth countries, from the time that the Rothschilds took over. They had talked about free trade between nations belonging to the empire, and no impediment to trade or labor, skilled or otherwise, as needed.
Right.
So it's the same agenda that's ongoing. We're blaming the effects of this on the people that are moving in rather than the cause of it, and that's typical. You see,
it's because they don't know.
They don't know.
And so many of us wouldn't know so much of the bigger picture.
Yeah.
See, I was beginning to learn a lot about more recent history, mm-hmm. the last couple hundred years.
Yeah.
But I didn't have the whole picture. I didn't have the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
You gave us the big picture, Alan.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's old, really. I mean, the first time this was voiced and written down in any governmental papers was in the 1500s in Britain. When John Dee went to Queen Elizabeth I, and he coined the term, he could create a British, you know, British Empire. He spelt it with a B-R-Y, Tish Empire, and he said to consolidate our rule over the world, and it was to be done through trading blocks, setting up of trading blocks, and then they would all share the common monetary currencies, etc. The same rules, regulations, in other words, they standardize the same system worldwide. Now it's called democracy, of course. And the same bankers would run the money side of it, and the same higher-up brotherhoods of the nobility would run the economic side, the law side of it, legal side of it.
You know,
so
I think
the 1500s, you know?
Yeah, I think I told you this, speaking about England way back then.
Uh-huh.
I was watching a bio on Queen Elizabeth, the first Queen Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, actually, it was sort of like done as a docudrama, I think they call them.
Yeah.
But when she came to the throne, mm-hmm. they said that the treasury was literally bare.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And these people, her handlers, they introduced her to this man and said he's going to be the new, whatever they called it, of the treasury.
Mm-hmm.
And the name that they named was not a British name. It was a foreign name. And I thought to myself, well, that's how they get a hold of the crown.
Well, you can understand.
They get control of the treasury.
Yeah, I think actually they were brought in for their purpose because they understand this system. And Queen Elizabeth I, I mean, they always talk about the Spanish Armada, you see, attacking England. But what they don't tell you, but it is in the old history books, that after the battles were over between the British fleet and really British privateers, like Francis Drake and so on, was that afterwards all the people they'd conscripted, and they'd had conscription then to do this, and press ganged into this, the quick navy that they drew up, they had no money to pay them. So after the battles, it was ordered by Queen Elizabeth I to leave them at sea, anchored off the coast. And these are the days where guys couldn't swim. Very few people could swim. And they waited until plague and famine broke out amongst them. And they had another ship going round them all, taking reports of how many were dead or dying. And once most of them were killed off, they simply drew the boats back into harbour after dumping off the bodies, because they didn't want to pay them any money for what they'd done. That's the reality of the people who ruled the world then.
Yes.
And they're
just who ruled the world since time immemorial, almost.
Yes, exactly.
That's the whole point.
Yeah. And of course, getting back to the, I was so surprised this today. You just skim through the shortwave stations for her 10 minutes, and it's so strange that every station you listen to has got the same reports on about these illegal aliens coming into the country. As though that's the only topic they have to talk about, which tells me there's a coordination between them all.
Well, sure, but how are they reporting it, Alan?
Well, they're blaming the immigrants, of course. They're blaming the effects and not the cause. And it's to stir up a racial hatred. They want internal strife to get all their laws put into motion.
But you know what? What they leave out?
Uh-huh.
The laws.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the U.S. has been sued by Mexico for not providing drinking water at the places where the Mexicans are coming in.
I know, but this is all to agitate the people in America.
I know it is.
That's what it's for. It's a deliberate agitation to create the racial strife, because this, again, is an old trick. Britain did it in India. India at one time was a conglomerate of small, independent little princedoms. And the British East India Company went in. And in no time at all, they had armed different factions, had them all fighting each other. Then they came in to give them the solution, which was unification
mm-hmm.
and peace, you see. Mm-hmm. So they're doing this, they're building up to the same thing again today for a unification of the Americas. They've already signed it into law last March, remember, when Bush and
last March,
Paul
yeah.
Martin, and, yep.
The way they build it was, we're expanding our borders.
Yeah.
So people think, oh,
uh-huh.
Canada's going to be part of Mexico. I mean,
that's right.
Canada's going to be part of America.
Mm-hmm. And then the reporter for the Global News in Canada stood up right there at Waco where the meeting was held, and he said, this sounds awfully like the European unification.
Mm.
And he says, is that what it is? And then Paul Martin for Canada jumped in, and he said, well, it's not quite the Big Bang, but and then he flounders a bit. He's trying to say, well, it's not the full thing. But then George Bush stepped in and got carried away. And he was all excited and said, well, what's wrong with the free trade and free this and free that? And sort of amalgamation, basically. Not in that word, but that's what he meant. And this is the old plan that's come down from the 1500s. It was reiterated by the Cecil Rhodes Foundation that was set up with Lord Rothschild as a founding member to create a British-styled empire across the world under democracy, under the same central banking system, and with free trade areas. Anyone who wouldn't join the free trade areas since the 1500s in Britain has been shunned. In other words, you're not allowed to trade with the Commonwealth. that's how they blackmailed the little countries.
For our listeners, in our at sweetliberty.org in the section How Wars Are Made Behind the Scenes, we've put quite a bit of stuff in there in chronological order. But on the Second World War, out of the book that I have called Voices of History, and this was for the year 1941, they were important speeches and documents, and they had, let me let Grandpa, okay, he's done, they had the final, if you would call it, offer by the U.S. to Japan for peace, the agreement that they wanted Japan to agree to. And in there, you talk about trade, Alan?
Yeah.
That was a biggie, that there had to be access, re-access.
Yeah.
That's what Japan had to agree to.
Yeah.
And, of course, it was an agreement that they knew Japan could not accept, would not accept.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that was all part of the program, too, wasn't it?
Exactly. In fact, there's so much on that. Because, I mean, America, Japan tried to stay isolated. The only ones, mind you, who had been in there for a long time were the Jesuits. And they had a going concern in goods and stuff from Japan. But the U.S. Navy sent a warship in to force Japan to trade, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that started off the whole thing. Then Japan thought, well, we were so far behind Europe, how do we catch up? Then they sent a delegation over to the United States to try and get bank loans. And they met with Mr. Baruch, the great Mr. Baruch.
Bernard Baruch. They called him Barney.
And there's a book called The Fugu Plan, F-U-G-U, and it's written by a rabbi, Rabbi Tokaya, who's Japanese Jew, living in New York. And he goes through this whole plan, how it was set up, how Baruch financed the Japanese on condition that they build up their military, their naval ships, and so on, and attack China. That's all documented in the plan. And then, of course, they built up Japan for World War II.
And, of course, the communists that had flowed into China were flowing into Japan.
Uh-huh.
And Japan was trying to protect its borders from there.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to say one thing back about what you were talking about last March.
Uh-huh.
The one thing I made a note so I wouldn't forget, I remember in one of the newspaper articles, they referred to it, this merging, that a continent was restructured in an afternoon.
Yes.
And that was Vincente Fox and Bush and
comical thing is, I don't know if people realize how much bureaucratic legwork went into all of that long before Bush and Fox and Martin met together. These guys were just...
Oh, well, they just rubber stamped the agreement that was already... Right, yes.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Yeah. Like, they didn't sit and make all, you know, about 500 or 600 pages up in an afternoon.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, like George Bush in an afternoon, you know, after 9/11, came out with all the plans for the war and the Homeland Security Department and all that. He gets off Air Force One.
Uh-huh.
All the plans are ready.
Well, he's a genius, you see. He just doesn't show it. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, well, one of the things, too, that you brought to our attention was that thing was taking place at the time Terri Schiavo was on national and, quote, international news.
Yeah.
So everybody's mind was diverted. Attention was diverted from what was going on.
Yes.
Now, one thing that I'm not... I don't know about is that Japanese-Russian war.
Mm-hmm.
How did and why did they orchestrate that, Alan?
The
and when was that time frame, kind of?
That was just after the and during, actually, really, but the First World War, and the idea was to It was actually before, just before the second revolution in Russia. The first one was 1905, the next one was 1917.
Yeah.
And it was to get the Japanese to attack the eastern side of Russia and forcing the Tsar to tax the people to get railroads for supplies and military down through the right to the east. And that really was to help foment the anger amongst the people who had been taxed to death. And help the revolution get underway.
Okay, now who attacked who? Did Japan go attack Russia?
Yeah.
What was the ostensible reason that they gave the people for this? Why was Japan going to attack
Russia? The people of Japan at that time didn't need a reason because it was such a patriarchal system of just you follow and do what you're told. So the Japanese did what they were told, you know.
But they never even said why?
They didn't really have to in Japan. They had this Bushido code and the Japanese warrior stuff and nobility. They'd never known voting or anything like that. It was
okay, well, let's say then that students of history, what are they given? What reasons are they given for that war?
Well, they're generally in the very thin, I call them the thin school books. In the very thin school books, especially the modern ones, they'll say, well, there were certain territories and islands that were technically owned by Russia over time, and the Japanese wanted to expand, that's what they're told. And so conflict came between the two countries.
I see. Well, then you go ahead just for a minute.
Yeah.
I'm going to let the... Alan, you're only going to be with us till about 20 till.
Yes.
Want our listeners to know this. He's been invited. I have to go let them out. You tell them about it and tell them how they can hear you. I'm going to go let these girls out so they can chase the critters out of the yard.
Yeah.
Come on, girl.
Yeah, last night at 5 to 9, just before I went on the show with Jackie, someone phoned me and just asked if I'd go on the show. And I was trying to remember afterwards who exactly it was who'd called. But it's, I hope it is anyway, it's called Rolly James Show, and that's found on the net at www.rolly.net, which is R-O-L-L-Y-E.net, R-O-L-L-Y-E.net, and it's on satellite as well. And it's also on a lot of AM and FM stations across the U.S. Albuquerque, Gulfport, Charleston, Cleveland, Columbia, etc., on a whole bunch of AM and FM stations. And so I'll be getting a call at 9:45, and I'll have to go off the air with Jackie earlier to get that call coming in. And I'll be on for 3 hours till 1 in the morning. So this is a marathon tonight, beginning at 9, and then after this for another 3 hours. So I hope those who are listening to the show can tune in. I know that the it's on XM satellite, I believe, 165.
Say what, Alan?
Yeah, I was mentioning that it's XM satellite 165, I think it's called.
Okay, I don't know anything about that, but maybe our listeners do.
I haven't a clue either.
Yeah, me either.
But as I say, it's on www.rolly.net at 10 p.m.
Yep.
That's Eastern time.
So you're copping out on us so you can get your breath.
Uh-huh.
Make yourself a pot of tea or something, Alan.
And go to the washroom.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And get ready for 3 hours. So it seems to be a lot of stations.
It's a wonderful opportunity to wake up some people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is. I was just thinking today as I watched this manufactured clouds being made right above my head, the mess we're living in, and all this stuff that you started with, you were telling me earlier about this thing going around the internet on...
Yeah, and I'll tell our listeners about that
after
you leave us.
Yeah, because it's such... right now, there's so much fear and terror of either natural disasters or whatever coming our way. Meanwhile, people can't even look above their heads and see this mush that's been poured down upon them through the jets. And yesterday, we got a video clip right here of a jet going across, and they had a zoom lens on it, and you could see these two huge tanks underneath the wings. Actually, they're in front of the wings, separate from the wings. They were not the engines. And they're like two round, big round tanks, massive things. And this thing was just spraying right across the sky. This is happening every day, everywhere. I had calls from Quebec.
Did you see
today.
This video clip?
Pardon?
Where did you see this video clip?
I made it at the back.
What?
I made it out the back here, or Jason did. He took the shot right outside my home.
Oh, Jason, okay.
Yeah.
And
right
he
outside
took
my home.
Stop.
Mm-hmm.
And you and actually see that the tanks on the wings.
Yes, a good zoom on this video, and could see these huge tanks actually jutting in front of the wings. Whatever held them on must have been very, very slender, but were definitely not the engines. They were separate. I've never seen anything like it. And this is what's going over the skies all across America and Canada at the moment. And whatever they're spraying on us is of no good to us, because no one in the main media is going to even touch this. Meanwhile, they've got us looking for catastrophes. There was one report in the newspapers today, oh my God, if an earthquake hits Tokyo, so many thousands will die. I mean, this is all fear-mongering while we don't look up at the sky. You know, it's all diversion. It's just amazing the terror and fear they're putting out there to keep us confused, anxious, while they literally poison us from above. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mhm. Amazing techniques. And meanwhile, they won't even mention this to the public, what's happening.
Well, Alan.
Uh-huh.
Are you wondering why not?
Oh, it's a big puzzle.
Right.
Yeah, watch this hand, but don't watch that hand, yeah. And this stuff doesn't bode well for anyone. I could taste the stuff this evening outside.
Could you really?
It was so thick. It was a definite... there's a sweetness to it as well. But it's definitely a chemical taste, yeah. Yeah. And this is dumped on us on a daily basis. Yeah. We don't have to speculate about it. We can see it happening. Yeah, what a wonderful world.
Yes.
Yeah. But getting back to that free trade deal, people should read the book Millennium by Jack Zatali, who was the Kissinger for Europe, for France, and he was the main advisor to a whole bunch of presidents in the United Nations. And in his book called Millennium, he goes through the whole takedown process of the borders for America.
That book is out of print.
Uh-huh.
And our listeners should know they possibly could find it at ABE Books.
Uh-huh.
Because that's where I found my copy. And you know I can't find my book, Alan.
Oh.
It's such a little book. I think it was a red book.
Uh-huh.
And it's such a little one. And I probably put it someplace where I could find it easily.
Oh, okay.
And I can't find it. Jacques Attali.
Yeah.
J-A-C-Q-U-E-S. And then it's A-T-A-L-L-I, or is it a double T?
I think it's double T, yeah.
T-T-A-I. Mm-hmm. It's an awesome, just, it's an awesome read, and it's a small book.
Mm-hmm.
And even the intro to it, wasn't it, was it Newt Gingrich who did the... No. Who did the...
There was a François Mitterrand, a whole bunch of them, the presidents of
France. Babbitt. Okay, yeah. Okay. The subtitle of that is Winners and Losers in the...
The New World Order.
The New World Order.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that the majority of the people will be like boat people.
Mm-hmm. He said the next boat people in the world will be Americans leaving in little boats looking for work abroad.
Yes.
Right.
And those who are winners, he actually said that they will yearn for, you know, the neighbors, in other words, the winners.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on FirstAmendmentRadio.com are listener-supported. Don't do Internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you?
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen. There's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, and regular guest, world-renowned economist Robert Chapman, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188. Years ahead of the dominant media, FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite.
All right, we're back with Alan Watt, folks. Alan's going to be with us for another 10 minutes, and then he's going to go to get prepared to do a three-hour marathon. And I'm glad you're doing that, Alan. I think it's... when you're doing a broadcast like that, mm-hmm. when you're on AM and FM,
yeah.
are you careful about what you say, or do you just use the opportunity to get it all out?
I just get it all out because we don't have, we can't dance around anymore.
Yeah.
But we've watched the dancing happen for so long that we're almost over the brink here.
Yeah.
And there's no time to be so, you know, wishy-washy about... Well, when you're presenting facts, you don't have to be wishy-washy.
Right.
Yeah. And as long as you have the facts there and you can point them what to read by the guys who are helping to do all this and bringing it about, well, that's all the proof you need, you know. Yeah. These people don't print stuff just for the fun of it. When the Brzezinskis of this world publish the books and tell you what they're going to do to you,
yeah.
you can take them pretty well at their word.
Although, Alan, you know something I noticed about that book, Between Two Ages?
Mm-hmm.
He writes it as
yeah.
though what's happening is just a matter of course. In other words, it's
yeah.
just happening.
He
mentions, I think, three times in the first 9 pages,
uh-huh.
the force behind it, the
uh-huh.
force that is molding it.
Right.
But somebody could read that mm-hmm. and just think it's
an evolution.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So even though he's telling so much,
yeah.
he's telling it almost in some ways like he's concerned about it.
Well, yeah, he has to. That's so that when we see the things actually happening, we'll never believe that nasty people could have done it deliberately.
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the technique that they use. But they publish it, and then other writers like Bertrand Russell, the Lord Bertrand Russell, who put out a whole stack of books for the Royal Institute of International Affairs and the scientific community, talking about a world run by experts, and there'll be no right of choice in anything with the individual anymore. It's just too inefficient.
Well, if you can't think for yourself, you have no choices anyway.
That's right.
But when they talk, when they literally use the term mm-hmm. biochemical manipulation of the brain,
yep. mm-hmm.
that should not be taken lightly. And when
yes,
we say, when they say biochemical, they're talking about biologicals and chemicals, right?
Chemical and also psychotronic, the Brzezinski, that which is the harp type EMP pulsations. It's all of these things.
Right. Oh, okay.
That's for peace on the planet, you see. When you can't think, there'll be peace. Yeah. So, yeah, they published all their agenda, their protocols, you might say. And the public, even though, you know, you tell them to read it, they'd rather listen to Art Bell and the Men on Mars. It's a sad state of affairs in this great age of confusion.
And a sad state of affairs, in my mind,
mm-hmm.
is... like the stuff that I was telling you tonight that I had been reading.
Uh-huh.
And when you called, I was literally nauseous.
Uh-huh.
That there are many of our listeners of Sweet Liberty
yeah.
who fall for this.
Mm-hmm.
Who fall for the Paul Craig Roberts and the Ken, what the heck's his name, whatever... Ron Paul, for God's sake.
Yeah. Was it Solman?
Oh, Ken Welch. Maybe? This Ken Welch thing that's going around.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Szymanski, he's all over the internet.
Yeah.
And he's a writer also for the American Free Press, which once was the Spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody needed to wonder about the Spotlight, I found out, as you know, because when I first started subscribing to the Spotlight,
yeah.
I started getting all that political mail from all those phony conservatives.
Oh, okay.
Al and I was spending thousands of dollars. I owned my business at the time.
Yeah.
And I was getting concerned. I was starting to wake up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, my God, I'd get these letters and say, oh, do you know what they've just done in Washington, D.C.? And you better send us money. So we can, you know, send
yeah.
this message to a lot more people,
mm-hmm.
or we're dead. I mean, basically, right. that's what they do to you. I couldn't open my mail without getting out my checkbook.
Yes, and the guy who basically spoke for the Spotlight on radio was Tom Valentine.
Yep, yep.
And Tom Valentine, in the 1960s, when he was a very high Freemason, way above the 33rd degree, when he was a member of the Stella Group, wrote a book himself, and you can find it, you'll see I'm telling the truth here. It was called Man's Monument to Man, the Great Pyramids, and he goes through all the Masonic folklore that he was completely steeped in. And this is the High Mason, the International Brotherhood here, suddenly he's leading a charge to save America, you know.
Right. But you know, he did say on the air, somebody called in one time and was asked and mentioning, you know, the societies, the Mason, the Freemasonry.
Uh-huh.
And Tom Valentine said, oh, well, you know, Freemasonry is really dead now. In other words, it's just a good old boys club, and they're totally...
Yeah.
And even by that statement, anybody who knew about, really understood about Freemasonry was going to know that he was phony.
Yeah.
But this
well,
is
they
what...
had to cover themselves, but the proof is out there because he wrote the book himself, Man's Monument to Man, the Great Pyramids, and he's a member of the Stella Group, the High Masonic Stella Group, when he wrote it, and he can't live that down, you know. But I should really get off now, Jackie, and get ready for that show that's coming up here.
Well, you
I think they're calling it quarter two.
And you can call any other... broadcast a show, but don't call Sweet Liberty a show, okay, Alan?
I know, yeah.
I know. I know I split hairs with words, but...
I know, we're so used to it. Yeah.
I'm not.
But sure, anyway, the ones who want to tune in can do so at about 10.
And that was ROLLYE.net.
Yeah.
And it's live streamed from there?
Yeah, and it's repeated during the week, too, I believe.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm not used to doing this by myself anymore, you know.
I know. Yeah.
All right. Well, you have... Just break a leg, Alan.
Okay, Doc.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thanks for being here.
It's a pleasure. Bye now.
Hey, gosh, folks, I almost hung up on you.
Okay.
Good night, Alan. Alan is disconnected. I hope he's going to be able to disconnect because Alan calls me. And then I conference us in together to the station. And if it doesn't break the connection, I might have to hang up and call back again. What I did tonight, when I went in to pull up my email, that one of the first things I saw that hurt my heart was, you know, those pictures, photographs of the rally that was held in Mexico. And these people who are rallying believe with all their heart in what they're doing. And what they're saying is true. You know, this land was stolen from us. And I when I looked at it and I saw all those people and all of the time that they had put in on making their banners and their signs and posters, and it was so sad to think how we are so easily pulled into these things, and it's because we don't have that oversight, if you would, to be able to look with a bird's eye view at this whole thing, how orchestrated everything is. Back in 1998, and I have been going to do this and haven't, and one of these days I will. Kelly Nelson and I, this is when I was on at 6 p.m., and we were on shortwave at the time, not the internet at that time, but Kelly Nelson and I actually did 10 hours of exposing the phony conservative, Christian conservative groups and individuals. In fact, that's how Darren, our webmaster, Darren told me about it, and it made me grin, because when Darren contacted me and said I would like to set up a website as my contribution to the work you're doing, and he was telling me later that he began listening, and he was listening to Kelly and I, and Kelly is the one, she's the one that, that was her arena, if you would, and she had the goods on them, folks. She named names and she gave connections and et cetera. But Darren said he actually got kind of ticked off because we mentioned somebody, and maybe it was Kennedy, what's his name, DJ Kennedy or whatever, and somebody that Darren really believed in. And he said at that point, he said, God, isn't there anybody that they like or that they trust? And what really impressed me about that is the fact that Darren hung in there. Even though he was aggravated, something kept him coming back. And that says a lot to me. And, of course, today, and if you listen to Darren, and I hope you do, folks, he's on Mondays and Tuesdays. He took over the broadcast when we went off shortwave, and he was doing three nights a week, but... because he has to work Wednesday nights, he asked me to take Wednesdays back, and I'm glad. At first I was hesitant to do it, and I'm glad that he asked me to, but when you listen to Darren, you see just how far he's come. But we all have. We all crawl before we walk, and then we walk, and then we run, and maybe eventually we fly. We soar. I don't know. But once, as I said to Alan earlier tonight, he's the one that it gave us the big picture to see all of these little things and some big things that are happening all over the place, all over this country and all over the world. They're orchestrated. And I'm not saying that there aren't spontaneous actions that people take. And I think those spontaneous actions, anything that we do that will begin to bring people awake out of that deep slumber that so many of our loved ones, of our associates, and the masses in the world . Anything we can do to begin awaken them is worthwhile. So I never would say there's nothing we can do about it, because when we look back and when we begin to see that this plan is so thousands of years old, and they're still planning it, folks, and it isn't to say that they haven't really made great strides, but they've never made it. And that's what I keep in my mind, and they aren't going to make it now. And it's like Alan has said, it doesn't mean that there isn't going to be a lot of grief and a lot of terror, and they are the terrorists, of course. And it isn't the president. The president is a nitwit. The president is, the dullest knife that would be in the drawer, but he's nothing but a figurehead. He's never been anything more than a figurehead. And I'm not talking just about Bush. I'm talking about every president. And our first president, George Washington, he was the biggest traitor of all, because he helped to start this whole thing with this country. Anyway, I wanted to share some stuff with you tonight just to give you some examples so that you yourself can begin to see this and don't be taken in. This Ken Welch, they even received information to put on Alan's website, which is cuttingthroughthematrix.com. They received information from a very wonderful person, very sincere person. But the website is kenwelch.com, and there's a dash ken-welch.com. Well, on this website, he's claiming that there's going to be a nuclear hit in Texas City, I think he said. I guess it's around Houston, over Easter. And then he's got Condoleezza Rice. He's got clips of her speaking at Davos, at the economic summit, and then he's doing backwards masking. And so they write a lot, they say a lot of truth, and this is why it's so hard to discern. But I want you to hear one thing that I excerpted out, one paragraph, and I want you to take this very seriously, keep it in your mind. Because a lot of what this guy said in this article is true. The thing is that there are certain things that people can talk about, and the elite, the controllers, whatever we would call them, are creatures, they don't care. But there are certain things, certain lies, that have to be carried. And one, of course, is that there were hijackers, 911 hijackers. Another one is that Saddam Hussein was a monster, the same as Adolf Hitler. There are certain lies that have to be kept alive. Here's a paragraph out of something that Ken Welch wrote on his website. He said, not too many years ago, an expert on international terrorism pointed out that all cross-border terrorism is state-sponsored. That's true. It is extremely expensive, and terrorists need government help with paperwork, transportation, and to keep them from running afoul of law enforcement. Now listen to this, folks. He says even the 911 hijackers, at least those that actually existed, Ken Welch is saying, alluding to, and leading people who believe this to believe that there were actually hijackers on those airplanes. He says even the 911 hijackers, at least those that actually existed, had government agencies running interference for them on multiple occasions just to keep them from being arrested and deported as a matter of routine. Now, did you hear that? So anybody who reads this, who might be waking up, is going to keep in their mind the lie that those planes were actually hijacked. And then here's a letter from Ron Paul. This is all part of the same email that I got. Ron Paul is a phony. And I want you to remember this. Ron Paul, first of all, voted for the, what do they call it, amnesty for about 12 million illegal aliens. Ron Paul is an advocate of open trade, not a free trade, not fair trade, free trade. And on a radio broadcast one night when a caller called in and said, what about the fact that you can't find anything anymore that's not made in China? He says, well, he says if Ron Paul said that the people, Americans, should have the opportunity to buy more, less expensive goods. And when the caller said, well, something about, you know, the made in China, he says, well, if you don't like China made, then buy American. And the caller said, but you can't find American made anymore. And they cut him off the air. Ron Paul is a phony. But I just want you to hear this letter. It's short, a couple paragraphs. Dear Mr. Watkins, thank you for contacting my office regarding your dissatisfaction with the current direction of the government. As you may know, I have been speaking out against the unnecessary and unconstitutional Iraq war since it was first revealed that plans were being made to go to war with Iraq. Well, you know, Senator Paul Wellstone spoke out against it, or maybe he said something about Israel. He got killed, folks. These guys in Congress don't say anything that they're not supposed to say, and if they do, they kill them. And then Ron Paul goes on to say, just a minute, I lost my place. I've also spoken out against the waste of taxpayer funds on the war, since that money would be better spent to improve the lives of the American people than on war. Well, Ron, so in other words, our government is supposed to improve our lives. As a member of the House Committee on International Relations, I will continue to work to expose the fallacies behind the arguments for war. They have to have opposition, folks. And they control their opposition. And Ron Paul is controlled opposition. I just want you to once and for all just get it. Now, this Greg Szymanski. Greg Szymanski was mentioned several times on KenWelch.com. And I remembered, I wondered as soon as I started, Greg Szymanski's all over the Internet. And here's, listen to this. This is something that he wrote. It says, by Greg Szymanski, Mideast Realities, June 22nd. He's talking about Paul Craig Roberts. Paul Craig Roberts is a phony conservative. He says a former... I want you to know who Paul Craig Roberts was and see if you think this guy is for real. A high-ranking Republican official, a well-respected author, tells the American people to stop listening to Bush administration lies about Iraq. Well, this is Bush's last term. It doesn't matter. Say anything you want. They're going to have their war anyway, aren't they? Paul Craig Roberts, and Szymanski wrote this, listed by Who's Who in America as one of the 1,000 most influential political thinkers in the world. Now, how do you get listed as one of the 1,000 most influential political thinkers in the world without being part of the program? He has evolved over the years into a major Bush basher. Well, that's controlled opposition, as well as neocon critic. They won't say Jew, you know. Robert said he hasn't, now listen to this, he hasn't jumped ship. He hasn't changed his political ideology or jumped from the Republican conservative ship, but, quote, just can't respect the party leadership who doesn't respect the truth. So he's still a party man. He's still a party man. That's like, what's his name? Buchanan, folks. When he first campaigned for president against Bush in the primaries. He was bashing Poppy Bush. Bush's New World Order is going to ruin this world. It's going to ruin our country. And then he didn't make it through the primaries, and he endorsed Bush for president. Now, that was enough. That should have been enough for anybody. But then the next time around, and many, many people who had campaigned for Ross Perot, they jumped from one phony to another. It was Buchanan again. And Buchanan says so much right that you think, oh my God, this guy's wonderful and he's for real. He was on crossfire for years and years and years. You do not get on major network television unless you're part of the program. When he lost in the primaries, there was absolute proof of vote scam. And it had to be him personally. He wouldn't contest it. And then, and then he turns around, and Chuck and I sent $15 to his campaign so we could get the newsletters and stuff. He said that the reason he stayed in the Republican Party, he said all his supporters wanted him to. Outright liar. And he was so good, he could make you applaud every other thing he said. We have to be able to look through that. Listen some more about Paul Craig Roberts, written by Greg Szymanski. Okay? Let's see. Serving under President Reagan in 1982, Reagan credited Roberts with having a major role in the Economic Recovery Act of 1961. We're out of time. Excuse me, 81. And he then was awarded the Treasury Department's Meritorious Service Award for his outstanding contributions to the formulation of U.S. economy. Okay? In 1992, he received the Warren Brooks Award for Excellence in Journalism. Let's see. He was awarded a John M. Olin Fellow at the Institute for Political Economy, a Senior Research Fellow at the Hoover Institution, Standard University, Stanford, and Research Fellow at the Independent Institute. This guy is a shill. Szymanski is a shill. Ron Paul is a shill. And Ken Welch is a shill. And I just wanted you to know that because there's lots more of them out there. But folks, you have to learn to read between the lines. And we're going to be back with you next time.
You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. We do not have freedom of speech because the Constitution gives it to us. The constitutional amendment was written to keep the government from taking our freedom away. The Creator gave us our rights, but He also gives us the